for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, April the 18th, 2019, Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the service teaching on the 8 R's and soul ties.
Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord.
Glory to the Lord.
He's a good Father.
Yes.
He's a good God. I saw the hands go up out there, so are we saying we have a little life of resistance at times?
That's right.
Everybody saved in here, going to heaven?
Amen.
Are you saved in here, going to heaven?
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Amen. Saved by grace through faith? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's the very beginning of thankfulness. No matter what. Right?
Amen.
I gave a... Let me pray a minute before we start. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your grace and your love. And your mercy endures forever. You're an ever-present help in time of need. Your name is the strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe, Lord. And Lord, even your word says if we're struck down, we're not destroyed. That joy comes in the morning. And so, Lord, your word also tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I ask you, Father, you said, knock and the door shall be opened. Jesus, this is your word. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. So I'm asking you for joy unspeakable here this weekend. That even in the moments, Lord, there are going to be times where things are exposed. Where things are exposed, the darkness is exposed to the light, destruction comes to the camp of the enemy. But Lord, I thank you that the net result is going to be the joy of the Lord. That in your presence, Jesus, is fullness of joy. At your side are 10,000 pleasures. And we need you, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. Lord, you've given us power. You've given us authority over all of the power of the enemy. And to trample on serpents, to trample on scorpions, and no thing shall harm us. So I thank you, Father, that those things are under our feet because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy. I bind a strong man assigned against this camp, assigned against my bloodline. I've signed against every bloodline in this camp and all of those that are going to come. And Father, I bind a strong man signed and working through those that are against us, Lord. And Lord, we forgive them. We release them. We let them go. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to bless them with the knowledge of your goodness and bring them to godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And Father, we do thank you that all witchcraft worked against us is destroyed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for your holy fire to come down. Even tonight and tomorrow and all day tomorrow and the next day and the next day and beyond in our lives, Lord, that anything that's not of you would be burned up in the name of Jesus. I'm talking fire from the third heaven. And Father, even any counterfeit fire would be destroyed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for your love. Your perfect love that cast out fear and adds no torment. We thank you that love never fails. Love conquers all. Love covers a multitude of sin. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes. And I ask you for your help today. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. As we sang, come, Holy Spirit. We need you. You're welcome in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who's here first time? Praise the Lord. Raise your hands again. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you've been here before, clap for these people. Praise the Lord. Clap for the Lord. He called you. Thank you, Father. I want to reiterate what Merrill said. My wife and I came here first time in 2004. We came in 2004, and we've been coming back ever since. And I'm just going to tell you that our lives would not be the same had we not come here. And each time that you're here is an opportunity to get freer.
Amen.
I don't care whether you're standing up here ministering or you're on the prayer team. We come here to get free.
That's right.
We come here because we know we have an enemy that's very slick.
Yes.
And you need to hear this. If you're walking your walk, the Bible says we're taken from glory to glory.
Yes.
And that means from one place to the next place. And watch this. I'm not going down with that. I'm going up with
yes,
it.
Yes.
Okay. Glory to glory.
Yes.
That means it's a process. We're sanctified, set apart by God as soon as you're born again for His purposes, and then a work of sanctification begins where God begins to change you. If you ever have a minister tell you they're totally free, don't let them be your minister. Hear me? Now, we're free indeed. Don't get me wrong. Jesus has provided. But the minute you think you're totally done and you're all that, well, this pride came in, and you're headed for a life lesson. I can tell you that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I can pretty well tell you that every minister that I've ever known that's ministered here is delighted to get delivered if they're up here doing deliverance. Okay, we're delighted. We just want to be free. Amen. But we came here in 2004, and I've got a picture in my phone of Merrill's father and Carla's uncle. And Carla Butod is another person that ministers here. Many of you know her. She's a good friend of ours. But her uncle, his name was Ernie Marzullo. And those two men, my wife and I were sitting probably third row back, and those two men are standing behind us with their hands laid on us, praying for us. I promise you, they had no idea we'd be standing right here, unless the Holy Spirit told them He could, but we didn't know. But we're here. And we're here, and we keep coming here, and we're blessed to come here. And so you pursue deliverance, and you pursue freedom.
Yes.
Israel is an example for us. The Bible says they're an example. So you need to know this about deliverance, and this is what I'm saying. It's progressive. You walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, and a synonymous word for salvation is deliverance. So we're walking this thing out, but God told Israel when He's taking them in the promised land, by the way, how many of y'all still trying to have giants you need slain? Come on. Got giants? Need slain? Israel's going into the promised land, and you have no idea how many, most people don't, how many giants were in the promised land. And if you ever wondered about, well, how God might have been mean in the Old Testament because He said kill every man, woman, child, and animal, it's because those were giants. They were mixtures. They weren't humans. They were mixtures between humans and fallen angels and sometimes humans and animals, and they could not live. They weren't supposed to be alive. So God said, kill them all. He always provided for humans to be saved. But there were Zanzimums and Immums and Raphaim and sons of Anak, Anakim. All of these were giant tribes. And they stood before Israel and the promises of God. And here's the word of God to them. We're going to go into this land and I'm going to go with you. Now, by the way, He didn't say, I'm going to go whip them all and you can just walk in here.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way. He goes with us. We have to swing our swords as well. Write this down if you're a writer. Passivity kills. Passivity kills. If you're passive in your mind's going to be doing this all the time, trying to fix stuff. If you ever have that hamster running in your cage, the devil's in the middle of it. Okay? Listen, if that's going on, the enemy's in the middle of it. There's no peace in that. But you've got a promised land. The Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and amen. And God's not a man that He should lie or the son of man that He should repent. So we need to know what His promises are and we need to pursue His promises. But here's this promised land. So everybody think, most people think heaven's the promised land. Heaven's not the promised land. It's our final reward. There ain't any giants in heaven.
Come on.
The fight's over there.
Yep. Amen.
The fight's for what kind of life we're going to have here. And God has a promised land for us. And it's a good life. And it involves the Bible says He always causes the saints to triumph. So we can win, but you're going to take your territory. So we're talking about this thing called, this is a deliverance camp. So if you came here, you should have come here wanting to get set free of things.
That's right. Amen.
Things you inherited from some grandfather or grandmother that you don't even know who they are.
Amen.
Never heard of them. Can cause you problems.
Amen.
You think, well, we were pretty good. How do you know? 3, 4. Bible says that the iniquities of the fathers are visited on the sons to the third and the fourth generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. What if nobody ever repented? How far does that go back? 3 and 4, and then 3, 4 more, and then 3, 4 more, and then 3, 4 more. So we can have things, and then there's other things called curses that bring these iniquities that go 10 generations.
Yeah.
And there are people that I guess this is just where we're going. There are people that don't believe in generational curses, but let me tell you something. The Bible says it's visited. Doesn't mean you're going to hell because of what great-great-grandpa did. It's not what we're talking about here. But let me tell you something. Does perversion run in family lines?
Yeah.
Does anger run in family lines?
Yeah.
How about that explosive temper?
Yeah.
Is that a blessing or a curse?
It's
a curse. We go bit by bit. God told them we're going to take it bit by bit lest the wild beast devour you. If all of a sudden God went boom, and we were all totally set free of all the demonic thought processes and every stronghold and all of the demons cast out, you would go crazy. You would not know how to hold it. And I'm going to present something to you. I mean, this is not a dark... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Brother said it. You've got to forgive. Forgiveness needs to be... We need to be professional forgivers.
That's right.
I mean the best forgivers on the face of the earth.
That's right.
If you want to prosper in God, that's what you're going to be. You got to get good at forgiving. I have a blanket pardon policy. And that means from here until the time I die or the time the Lord returns, I am forgiving everybody automatically. I have emotions. I'm not dead. I'm not walking here dead, but I'm dead to unforgiveness. I'm dead to the world. That's my goal. And so if somebody insults me or somebody's making me mad, I will feel that. But I'm not going to go to bed mad. I'm not going to wake up mad. I'm going to begin to forgive them the minute I feel offended. Because I've already decided they're forgiven. I don't have to wait and say, well, I guess I'll forgive them tomorrow. I'm not going to do it. My Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, lest you give place to the devil. How many want to give the devil a place? So we're going to take this land bit by bit. That's why it's important to pursue deliverance. And don't, like Brother Barrel said, listen, it ain't one shot and you're done. It's just not. So there are, this is a wonderful place to come. If you are blessed enough to have deliverance outside of here, then keep pursuing it. Get on the YouTube. Get on this place. That there are so many teachings. There are 40-year-old teachings you can sit and listen to and get yourself delivered.
Amen.
If you'll agree with them. We were down in Beaumont and a man made a statement and he said this. He said, if you got a problem with what any of these ministers are saying up here, he said, consider that it's the way you've been thinking that got you in the mess you're in. I thought that was pretty good. Let me do a little housekeeping and then we'll move on. I guess we haven't done. Nothing but bottled water here in the sanctuary, please. Honor that. In your rooms, you're staying on campus here. No food or drink other than bottled water. You want to step outside and eat something, that's fine. Okay? But we're kind of in the country here. And if you want something crawling in your room, then you're inviting it. And then whenever we go home, these folks are still here. And they would have to contend with it. So we just ask you to honor that. 10 o'clock, if you're in these dorms, we ask the quietness, certainly. We would call it lights out. Nobody's going to come along, look under your door, and bang on it at 10:30 if your lights aren't out. Okay, but just honor that. Be quiet. Let me tell you what happens at camp. If you've never been here before, we're going to have tonight service. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. 6 o'clock Saturday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday morning, we're going to have personal prayer up here with a prayer team. And we invite you to come, and I would implore you to come, because great things happen when people come here for that. And you're missing on the totality of what can be received if you don't humble yourself and come to that. And listen, I don't like getting up that early. I promise you. I would rather, for my flesh, sleep till 9 o'clock. Or 8 o'clock. Or even 7 o'clock. My flesh. But I crucify my flesh because we feel like God's kingdom is worth crucifying our flesh for. Amen. You are worth crucifying the flesh for. So we get up and we rejoice, and God does great things in the early morning hours. So show up 6 o'clock in the morning. And when you get here, just sit down. And if Sister Jerry was up here telling you, she'd say, start repenting. And I'll just tell you, start repenting now. Just start repenting now. Everything God brings to you, everything that you see, repent, forgive, repent, forgive. When I minister, I tell you every time I minister, I'm going to speak these words. Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Every time. If you're quick to repent, you're quick to forgive, you're going to grow in grace. Anywhere you fail to repent, you're stuck. Right there, you're stuck with a door open to the devil. And if you fail to forgive, you're not even forgiven if you don't forgive. I had some people get mad at me one time. Because I told a lady, I asked her, I said, you got anybody to forgive? And it was at a different kind of event than this. And they come back and they said, well, you know, some people don't believe that way. I said, well, you know, she wanted healing. So my question was, you got anybody you need to forgive? Because the truth be known, unless overridden by the Lord and told to do it anyway, I'm not going to pray for somebody that won't forgive. Because I'm actually opposing God. Because He said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Well, if I can't even be forgiven, if I can't forgive, if I won't forgive, I'm not going to heaven. How in the world am I going to call on Him to heal me? So let's just let it go. It's not about your emotions. It's about your obedience. Emotions fall into place when you choose to be obedient to God. And this is for somebody, I believe it needs to be spoken. You need to pray for the one that still bothers you. Even though you may have said, I forgive them 100 times, but you hear their name and you go, oh! That one you need to ask God to bless them. You need to ask God. The Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them. So you're going to need, you pray, and the more you pray for them, then pretty soon you're going to find that name doesn't bother you anymore. And we'll get the demons out too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I want to help you, and I believe I know the Lord wants to help you stay free, walk out your freedom. Whatever territory is taken, and we'll take whatever the Lord allows. Listen, this weekend, two are going to decide the amount of freedom you're going to get. One of them's you. You can shut the Lord off. You're going to choose. We can't choose for you. I always tell people we throw lifelines to everybody. So we throw lifelines, okay? So listen, first lifeline you throw to this person, and they grab the lifeline, and they swim with the other arm towards you. That person is going to walk out their freedom. They're going to walk it out. Second person, you throw them a lifeline, and you start dragging them, but they don't help at all. And you can drag them in, and they'll get help, but they're going to fall back. And the third person shakes their fist at you while they drown. Okay? Because they don't want to deal with what's in here. We're going to throw lifelines to everybody. And I'm going to declare and I'm going to believe everybody in this room is going to grab those lifelines and they're going to swim. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us are functioning better than others of us. You know, I was a drug user for a long, long time. And alcohol, I drank alcohol to the point of abuse. Lots of alcohol. For whatever reason, I could still go to work. I could still function. Was I dysfunctional?
Yeah.
Very dysfunctional. But I can still work. I don't know why. The grace of God, I can look back now. But others might not be able to. But the problem's still the same. Either way, we all need deliverance. So in this room are varying levels of functionality. Amen? Say, Lord, wherever I'm at, I'm alive by your grace. And I know you love me. And I accept that in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to be able to walk some things out and have understanding of what we're doing here. And this is a little bit, I call it the 8 R's. And this is the way we walk out our freedom. It is the way you're going to begin and begin to get deliverance. It's going to require these things, but we'll start with number one. It says, recognize. You must recognize what it is. The purpose is to take your eyes off the one true God. Whatever it is to get your eyes on something else and not on the Lord. It is a war for your soul, and the enemy will use whatever it takes for you to believe his lies. How many know he's a good liar? How many know he's the father of all lies? Amen. Next is take responsibility. You must take responsibility for what you recognize. I'm going to do something here right now. Let me get this pulled up. All right. Paul, Galatians 5. Paul in Galatians 5 talks about the work of the flesh. Okay? And I want to read what they are. I'm going to read it in Amplified, but my new app just quit. Bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. I want you to know that demons can't work unless they have something to work with. I want you to also know that you can have spirits and you can have them in your bloodline, and it might not be working in you and showing in you, but it's still taking a ride waiting to go to your children or your children's children, or waiting on a weaker day for you, or waiting on you to open the door, but it can still be there. Galatians 5, we're going to begin. I'll just start at 16. So now I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Remember this. If you're born again, I asked, are you going to heaven? Well, to go to heaven, you have to be born again. Jesus said, for a man to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. You have to have the Spirit of God within you. Well, listen, the war began the minute you got saved. Before that, you're floating downstream with everybody else. Only living things swim upstream. Remember this. Only living things swim upstream. Everything else just swept along with the flow. I had a sister say yesterday, she said, I don't get it. These Muslims, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, they're out, boy, they're witnessing, they're doing what they do, they're fervent, they pray 5 times a day. Why don't the Christians do it? Well, I'm going to tell you why the Christians don't do it. It's because they got opposition. Everybody else, the devil's behind them, helping them out.
Come on.
He's pushing them. Go on by them, Allah. Do right. You can go to heaven and make spirit babies for the rest of your life. That's the Mormon deal. Listen, they're driven. They're driven.
Uh-huh.
We're opposed. That doesn't mean we don't need to pray. It doesn't mean we don't need to ask for fervency. It doesn't mean we say, Lord, help me be zealous to do what I need to do. But you're opposed and they're not. So once you got born again, the war began inside. I ask people, was there a change when you got changed? Because if you can just sin and not be bothered, you might not be born again. Because sin should bother you. And if, now listen, we're all working this thing out. But if you're sinning and your sin doesn't bother you, either you're not really born again or you ignored the Holy Spirit enough when He convicted you that now He's letting you just walk it out. And He's quit talking to you about it. And you're going to fall. You're going to fall hard. Because He loves you. He'll leave you alone. He won't control you. And He'll let you walk down that path. And if you call out on Him, He'll rescue you. But listen, I've come to this conclusion it took me a long time to get here, but I'm going to tell you, if the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, why do I want to help him? Why do we want to help him? And if Jesus came to give me a life and a life more abundant, why would I not want to choose this glorious God who's done it all and His ways? So, the Spirit lusts against the... For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things you would. But listen, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh... Now, listen, listen. You're just going to obey what God says is right and wrong if you're led of the Spirit. So you're not under it as a yoke. You're just obeying God. If you break God's moral laws, you're going to find trouble in your life. Okay? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, that means divisions, heresies, lies, a heresy being a doctrine that's, listen, anybody that denies Jesus came in the flesh is God, that God came in the flesh, that's a heresy. Anything that denies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a heresy. Anything that denies that Jesus rose with a glorified body, not just a spirit, is a heresy. Anything that denies that the only way to the Father is through Jesus, that's a heresy. Those are lies. Anything that says Jesus is a brother to Lucifer is a heresy. It's another Jesus. It's a lie. Okay, so now I'm going to speak this because, but I'm not slamming people. I'm coming against an untruth. But the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you're called the Mormons, they believe Jesus is the brother to Lucifer. You've got another Jesus here. Our Jesus is God. That Jesus would be a created being. Jehovah Witness believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. That makes him a created being. So you have another Jesus. So we need to be wise and understand there's only one Jesus. There's only one real Jesus. There's only one true Jesus. That would be a heresy. Envyings. Its twin is jealousy. Murders. So now listen, everybody say, I may never have murdered, but I've murdered with my mouth. Gossip, backbiting, slander, backstabbing. Drunkenness. Revelings. Of such the like, that which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody who will, repeat with me. Lord, I repent.
Lord, I repent.
For all these works of the flesh. For adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means dirty things. Doing unclean things. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Now as you're repenting, say, Lord, I'm doing this on behalf of my bloodline. And I confess all these as sins of my ancestors as well. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, I repent. I confess them all as sin. And I break every curse associated with these works of the flesh. In Jesus' name. So that first one was recognized. The second one was responsibility. You must take responsibility for what you recognize. You must take action to stop this experience of the enemy now that you see it for what it is. The word repentance means a change of mind. The Greek word metanoia. It means to change the way you think. So if you're thinking, listen, and the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if your thinking is lining up with the world, or lining up with even your emotions, or lining up with your feelings, or lining up with something that's contrary to what God says, you got the wrong way of thinking. My emotions cannot decide for me what's true. I want to say it again. My emotions cannot decide for me what is true. God's Word has to decide for me what is true. And I have to. Now, that doesn't mean I'm dead. Doesn't mean you should be dead. You're going to have emotions. Those are God-given. But if they are ruling you and causing you to do things contrary to God's Word, then your flesh is in charge in that given area. We just took responsibility for the works of the flesh. Next is to repent, which we did. Say, Lord,
I repent
for believing the lies of the enemy. And I repent for the doors that have been opened. Knowingly and unknowingly. In Jesus' name. Next is renounce. Simply means I don't agree with that anymore. I renounce those works. I renounce all the works of the flesh. I renounce my sin. I renounce my ancestors' sin. I want to agree with you, Lord. You're feeling defeated. You need to renounce defeat. You're not defeated. You've got the Holy One of Israel inside of you. You must make what you recognize as your enemy. You must recognize your enemy and renounce it. Renounce any part of your life that's not of God. Anything not of God is the enemy, and it is our enemy. Say, Father, would you show me what I need to personally renounce? Now close your eyes, and as He shows you things, renounce it under your breath. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, your people see. Thank you, your people hear. Thank you, your people are obedient. Thank you, Father. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Let them go. All of them want to come out right now. Just come on out now before it gets hard on you. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let God's people go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Next is cast it out. Next, we cast out the demons. We remove all participation, involvement, information, answers, associations, books, charms, crystals in your own homes. You want to be free? Get the junk out of your house. You got Buddhas in your house? You got dream catchers in your house? You got movies in the house that Jesus wouldn't sit and watch? You got games in your house that are occultic games? Listen, if you play and get entertained by dark things, you're going to have dark things come and begin to use you for entertainment. And they're going to show up. Ouija boards, some of these shows, listen, Twilight, used to be that vampires were the booger men, now they made them romantic. There was only really few people that would watch things like the mummies, the vampires, and all that stuff. Very few. And then they made vampirism into romance, and so they did a sweep net, got a whole bunch of women involved that would have never before. But it's darkness. And by the way, if a vampire bites you and you become immortal, is that another salvation? You're changed into something that's not human. And see, listen, in the days and times to come, listen to me, in the days and times to come, there's something called transhumanism, post-human society. They are looking to create beings that are using to take humans and enhance them into superhumans. And one of the promises will be immortality. And yet God kicked us out of the garden so we couldn't live in this fallen state. And God's not going to allow that, but they're going to be, He's not going to allow it to destroy every human being, but there's going to be many that do. And I'm going to tell you, the only people that aren't going to go that route are those that belong to Jesus, that have the mind of Christ. You might need to clean your house. Ask the Lord. Say, Father, I'm asking you to show me anything in my home that needs to go away. Anything in my possession that needs to go away. And I thank you, Lord. And I repent for those things now. And thank you for delivering me even before I throw them away. Say, Lord, I'm asking you to
show me
everything in my life that's been stolen that I need to reclaim. In Jesus' name. Now go ahead and take a deep breath. Let them go. Let them go. Come on. Next group. Come out of there. Come up and come out. In the name of Jesus. Come up and come out. In Jesus' name. Come up and come out of God's people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Next, you have to resist. Resist. When it tries to come back, resist it. When it tries to come back, yeah. Those spirits, they enjoyed the ride they had. They had a nice house. They might have been living in your bloodline for 1,000 years, 1,500 years, 500 years. Long time. They don't want to leave. When we make them leave, they have to leave. Listen, if you do those first things I said, and you're serious, and you love God, and you're born again, and you mean it, they have to go. If you hold on to a lie, or hold on to something contrary to God's Word, they don't have to go. They'll have a legal right to be there. Okay? But they do try to come back. If you get healed of something this weekend, your pain goes away, and you're walking out, and next Tuesday, man, you're walking good, I haven't felt this good in years, and all of a sudden you're feeling that thing in your hip again. It's a liar. It's trying to get you to agree with it. Stop and say, no, devil. I took care of that with Jesus, and He took care of it at the cross. You have to go. Resist. When your eyes get open, let me just tell you something. The more you pursue freedom, which is truth, the more obedient you are to the Lord, the more you repent quickly, the more you forgive quickly. Listen, you know what happens when you become a professional forgiver? You don't get offended near as often.
That's right.
just that matter. Huh? You're just not going to get offended all the time. You know, people are just people. There's a devil, it's the enemy. So you're going to let stuff go. You're not going to be bothered. But you got to walk this thing out. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive. Resist the devil. The Bible says obey. All right, so look, so I want to go back to that. The more you get free, then the more you're obedient, the more understanding you're going to get from the Lord.
That's right.
Because you get that cloud out of your mind. The cloud of sin, the cloud of the curse, the mind-blinding spirits, the deaf-dumb spirits that keep you from understanding. And then when, listen, you let God's love flow into you. He loves us. The Father loves you. He loves you so much that He paid the sick Jesus, who loved you so much, He paid the price. He paid a great price for relationship. So His kingdom would be established in your life, and you're not in darkness anymore, but in His kingdom. But listen, we're born messed up. And we're born to get lies put in us, and the world is telling us lies all the time. If you turn the news on, you're hearing lies. Continual lies. They tell you a tornado's coming, pray. They're probably making it and sending it. That ain't a lie. But what they're telling you is going on, every one of the news stations lie. With impunity, apparently. And the only way you're going to know is by the Holy Spirit. Obey. So, James, in the book of James, we're to submit to God and resist the devil, and the devil's going to flee. So if you don't submit to God, you resist the devil, you're going to get whipped. If you do submit to God, but you don't resist the devil, you're going to get whipped, because go back to passivity kills. He's an outlaw that has certain legal rights. Okay, listen to me. When you're repentant, when you live right, you strip his legal rights, he's totally, his rights are gone. Now you can run him off. But if you don't resist him, this act, and when I said cast out spirits, that word in the Greek is ekbalo. It means to physically grab something and throw it. Even like taking an anchor out of a ship and throwing it overboard. It's a violent act in the spirit. You may not see it. These spirits, listen, when I start calling these things out, you'll see yawns over here. You'll see a cough over here. You might hear a sneeze over there. Somebody might burp 20 times. I don't care. Let's get them out. But that's what we're seeing, and sometimes we see greater manifestations than that. But listen to me. There's a violent act going on, which the angels of God are doing something devastating to the enemy. And we should rejoice in that. But we've got to resist. We have authority to make him flee. 7, rejoice. Rejoice. Give God thanks for setting you free. I started off saying, if you're not going to hell anymore, be grateful. I started to tell you, I preached a message on Thanksgiving here, Thanksgiving Day. It was the last message. And I told them, when you have a storm, praise God all the way through it. It's the shortest path to victory. 2 weeks later, a tornado took out one of my places. Okay? I know why it happened now. I told the people here, you ask God why. It happened. Because he'll tell you. You confess any sin if you know of any. Okay? First of all, Lord, did I do something? Second of all, was this sin? Third of all, why did you allow it? Well, for us, it was in a place we weren't supposed to be. And we know that now. Okay? Because he made it clear. That tornado took out the roof and it took out 2 walls of our place. It was a mobile home hanging over a lake. And not one... We lost 1 heater and 1 picnic table. And everything else inside the place was untouched. And not even any water on it. How does that happen? And a dresser flew off, went 25 foot down, sucked back under the house, and had 1 scratch on it. I preached the message. And 2 weeks later, I had to just thank God. I wasn't in it. It was his anyway. I was standing before men that are real high-level businessmen down in Texas, and we were down in a hunting deal, and I told them, I said, listen, before I knew why he allowed it, I said, listen, he's God. It belonged to him anyway. If he wanted to protect it, he could have. But I never, never questioned his goodness or why, because he's a good God. And if he allows something, he allows it because there was a reason for it. So you ask God if something's going wrong. Why, God? He loves you. He's not a silent daddy. He's a daddy. He's not a stoic father that can't be talked to. If your father was that way, forgive your father, even now. Okay? And you got to let them go. They're just men. But our God's not that way. He's a good father. So we need to rejoice. I also prayed about 2 weeks before because I just almost finished rebuilding that place. I'd been doing it for 3 years, and now I need to go to the porch, to the big old deck it had, and I was looking at stuff in my own house at home, and I was going, God, you're going to either have to send me some help or some money to get this done. I got too many things to do. Well, he sent the help. It just wasn't the way I wanted it. Because now I don't have to work on that thing anymore. Thank you, Father. So we got to rejoice. You get freedom, rejoice. If you go around sad faced, you're defeated. Let me tell you. I knew a lady. Listen, you want to really be free? Your witness needs to become important to you. Your witness. That means not what I look like so you think I'm all that. But that means when a person looks at us, are they seeing somebody that Jesus paid the price for that's glad about it? Do we care that somebody else would see how we look and measure our God based on us? Because they do. So your witness, I personally, if I find myself real busy at the grocery store, I just make sure and smile. And I look at people and I look them in the eye and I smile at them. Be friendly. If Jesus was walking down the aisle, would he ever go like him? I don't think so. But sometimes we got to cultivate that joy. We got to cultivate rejoicing. I knew a lady whose husband was dying, She gave testimony that she would go to Walmart and get his medicine, and on the way she'd take that rearview mirror and practice smiling. Because when she got there, she wanted people to see her as somebody that was friendly so that there could be divine appointments and she could pray for people while even she was waiting in line to get the medicine for her husband. We got to rejoice. Some of us have let the enemy steal our joy. There's people in this room, I see it now. The enemy's stolen your joy. Okay? God is a good God. He's worth rejoicing over. Restore goes back to that. Help someone else to get free. Told to reach the lost through the Word of God and our testimony. Our testimony is the most powerful evidence that God is real. The testimony of a changed life through the name and the authority of Jesus Christ is the real evidence that exposes the lies of the enemy. When you share your testimony, you give someone else the hope that they can also be set free. The enemy's defeated by your testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. He does not want you to have or share your testimony of His life-changing power, because the enemy knows how powerful that is. I remember back when I first got saved, and I walked in this little store, and I was going to get my coffee and a newspaper, which was my habit at that time. And I looked out, and it was raining hard. And this lady said, "It's raining hard out there." I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And I said, "But this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. It's a great day." And she goes, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not, but I sure love Jesus." And she goes, "Well, tell me about it." Well, I ended up leading that woman to the Lord. Okay? Over. This is the day the Lord has made.
Yeah.
And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Just doing, going about life. He did it with me and do it for you too. Amen? God's not a respecter of person. You don't have to know every book in the Bible. You just got to know. You got to know what He's done for you and be willing to share. Whatever you've got, He'll bring it to the table if you're willing. I want to ask you, in that restore deal, have you asked God for divine appointments? Have you asked God for divine appointments? "Lord, set these things up. Bring people to me that I can share." And here's what happens. You reap what you sow. So if you're willing to share God, somebody's, and you're willing to share what He's done, then God's going to raise up people to come to you and bless you and talk to you and pray for you in your moment of need. It's how the kingdom works. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now that was all a bonus. I'm going to take a little bit and I'm going to talk about sexual sin. Okay? I gave you those eight because I don't know what all is going to be ministered here. I'm going to talk about sexual sin and soul ties. We don't talk. Jerry and I don't talk. And Deborah and I don't talk. And Kat, I talk to my wife, so I know what she's going to minister. But we don't talk. I don't have a clue what they're going to bring to the table. But I do know this. Every one of them is an opportunity for this body here to dine at the Master's table and eat the children's bread, which is deliverance. And I want you to not only get the deliverance, but to keep your deliverance. Amen? So let's talk about sexual sin and unhealthy soul ties. Bible gives us clear and undeniable scriptural instruction as to what is okay sexually and what is not. Let's take a look at the Word of God. We're going to look at the Old Testament. We're going to look at the New Testament. We're going to look at the destructive nature of this door-opening sin. But let's see what God approves. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth." That is when Genesis 2:24 then says, "That is why a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh." You go back there to 1:27 and 28, and God says He's going to give man dominion. The problems in this earth are because God gave the earth to man and man turned around, defaulted, and let the devil come in here. Okay? So then the covenant, and this is the first covenant God made with man. He said he'll leave his mother and father and will be united with his wife and they will become one flesh. Proverbs 18:22 says, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Raise your hand back there, good thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Favor with the Lord. Proverbs 5:18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, now listen, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. A definition of a husband, a male partner in a marriage. A definition of a wife, a female partner in a marriage. It's pretty clear. Unless you don't want God in your life. Unless you don't want His truth. And the very truth of His truth is He'll let you deny Him if you want to. But this world is in great, great trouble because of denying Him. Say, Lord, thank you. I'm not in that kind of trouble anymore. In roughly 6,000 years of human history, there's not one example in the Bible of same-sex marriage. Nowhere. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. But let's look at what is sexually immoral. Adultery is defined as voluntary sexual relations between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. Exodus 20:14 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Leviticus 20:10, and the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Proverbs 6:32, but whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. Is God a true speaker? So how much damage has been done to souls? Matthew 5:27, you've heard it said, by them of old time you shall not commit adultery. Luke 18:20, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and their mother. There are 33 verses dealing with adultery. Fornication is next. It is defined as consensual sexual relations between two persons not married to each other. Acts 15:20. That we write unto them that they abstain from the pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. 1 Corinthians 6:13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. How many in their right mind would take a hammer and whack yourself in the knee? Anybody? Because it hurts. Well, this hurts. You just don't know how much it hurts until the consequences. And I'm going to just say this. If anybody in here has had an abortion, then we don't condemn you. God will heal you. We got to repent. And there's healing. We praise God for that. There's healing for all of the sin that we do. But the reason that abortion is run rampant in our country is because people want to have sex outside of marriage and not be responsible. If that went away, abortion would go away. Now, the powers that be and the rulers of darkness also receive all of those abortions as a blood sacrifice unto the enemy. All sin is destructive, but sexual sin is against your own body, defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do we really want to take the Holy Spirit into an unholy sexual encounter? There are 32 verses dealing with fornication. Incest in the Bible refers to sexual relations between certain close kinships which are prohibited. Let's look at the scriptures, including other defilements. before I even go any further, I'm going to tell you, if you look online, you're going to find there's people in going into the courts trying to marry their mothers. Here's the problem. Once the law of the land starts saying that it's okay to kill a certain class of people, then pretty soon they're going to kill another class of people. So now they're passing laws. They just passed one in Oregon to allow for starving to death old people.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.